This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Merdeka Special is presented by Masing.
It's 7:05 and it's also the week of Merdeka, and we're commemorating it with this special 101 series, taking a look at things and symbols that represent Malaysia. So one of the most important objectives of a country's image is to attract economic opportunities. In fact, there's a specific field for that now, and it's called nation branding.
Yeah, the concept is pretty straightforward. It's about how a country markets itself so that it builds its reputation in order to gain economic prosperity. So basically, it's about how the country PRs itself to the world to attract opportunities. And this is basically things like how Italy is synonymous with its pizza, or Venice yeah. with the canals and gondolas, or Paris is a city of romance. So how does Malaysia PR itself to the world in order to gain more? I guess it's a soft power thing, right? To have a stronger soft power around the world so it can attract more economic opportunities.
Yeah. And, you know, part of that discussion we had yesterday was about durians, and that's also, you know, helping us build that and carve out the Malaysian brand, right? Nation branding is essentially trying to carve out a specific niche, whereas historically the old system was that a country could only really succeed in the world if it had very strong military, economic, or political power. So that meant, like, you know, if not more than 90% of the countries in the world couldn't even compete with the bigger powers. But now we have, like you said, the smaller nations, relatively smaller nations like Italy. We also have New Zealand, you know, where they have this really great tourism program, tourism campaign called 100% Pure New Zealand running for them, right? And it's been touted as one of the success stories of nation branding. It's been touted as a tourism success. So, you know, for us, it's also trying to realize that value, right? Because it does bring in money, it does bring in investors, it does bring in all sorts of economic opportunities that we might not have.
Yeah, it brings in money because tourists would be interested in visiting a country that they perceive is beautiful or interesting. And if you're synonymous with a food that is really good, then people want to import that food and try and have a taste of it. So in thinking about Malaysia, I mean, one of the things that comes to mind is the slogan Malaysia Truly Asia. Mm-hmm. And that's been our slogan for decades already. Our tourism is based on Malaysia being a true representative of Asia. But what does that really mean? I mean, because Malaysia is many things. We are a diverse country. We are an upper middle income country. We have nice food and rich, diverse flora and fauna. So in sort of like creating a strategy to PR ourselves to the world, I think, in my opinion, we need a coherent vision of what we want to project to the world. Like, what are we?
Yeah. And on that note about Asia, Malaysia Truly Asia, the reason I think it worked was that, and it was so successful and so memorable till now, is that it is authentic, right? It is a real thing. It's not trying to sell something that Malaysia doesn't have on offer. And I think that's part of the success of being able to sell something that works. You know, any attempt at trying to create things that aren't there, you know, trying to paint us with a positive brush when we might not have infrastructure, we might not have the sites, we might not have the policy, we might not have the people even to support that, you know, efforts to do that might not end up well. So it's the same thing if we look at we look at countries the way we do also look at people, the way we look at brands, the way we look at companies, right? You know, how do we feel about it? Do we trust this country? Do we trust the people that come from that country? And, you know, what are the maybe the more complicated and bad aspects about the country, right? You know, I think a lot about Malaysians being essentially country ambassadors whenever we travel. We are asked questions, oh, you're from Malaysia, you know, what exactly is Malaysia? Or, you know, oh, you know, I've been to Malaysia, and they relay like a good or a poor experience they had in the country, and you're there either to hype that up or defend what Malaysia, you know, their experience rather defend whatever experience they had in Malaysia.
I mean, for me, definitely it's very important to sort of stay true to yourself. Like, you cannot just make up things that isn't real, because people around the world are more cynical nowadays. They are more critical. So if you project an image that is perceived as not true, then it can be perceived as a propaganda. So a strategy to PR the country, either on behalf of the government or on your own initiative, must be true to your identity. And definitely, it's not something, our nation brand is not something that can be developed overnight. It's a long game.
It is. It's a very, very long game.
And you need to use all avenues that you can get, especially in terms of, I believe very much in projecting our brand through films and TV shows. And I think that is an area that we very much lack so far, especially if you think about, for example, recently, Crazy Rich Asians, a lot of it shot in Malaysia. People associate it with Singapore.
Oh, so sad. So sad. Well, if you have any ideas on how we can brand Malaysia better, send us your thoughts at 7733-2900. That's the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be looking at this more in depth later with Jayant Menon, lead economist at the Asian Development Bank. Right after this, you're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to this BFM Merdeka special presented by Masing.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
This BFM Merdeka special is presented by Masing.
It's 7:12. You are with Kelvin and Ayman on the Evening Edition, and we have been talking about the nation brand. You know, essentially, how can we get better at that? How can Malaysia be more out there with the world map, considering the economic opportunities that it can bring? So we're going to dive into this a little bit deeper together with Jayant Menon, lead economist at the Asian Development Bank. Jayant, thank you so much for joining us today. How do you view the impact of nation branding?
I think nation branding is getting more and more important these days. Nation branding involves applying corporate marketing approaches to nation states, right? And there are more and more people doing it these days. Of course, it started off in the Western industrialized world. The US especially, but also European countries used it aggressively. But it's already spread to Asia. And, of course, these things have a kind of domino effect in the following sense. If enough of your competitors are doing it, you cannot afford not to also jump on board. Doing nothing will mean falling behind. So, the nation branding exercise now is almost necessary to compete for foreign investment and attract the kind of industries you're looking to get into your country to help with your development.
And what do you think of Malaysia's branding? Do we have one? And what image are we conveying to the world at the moment in terms of attracting economic opportunities?
I think Malaysia's branding has gone through various phases over its recent history. Since this is a program about the experience leading up from Merdeka to now, I remember when I first left Malaysia almost 40 years ago to go to boarding school in Australia, a lot of my classmates didn't know where Malaysia was. And then, of course, that's changed completely now. Malaysia is very well recognized around the world, sometimes for the wrong reasons. I guess two episodes that come to mind is the Asian financial crisis about 30 years ago that put Malaysia and the region on the global economic map. And then, of course, more recently for Malaysia, the corruption scandal with 1MDB. But I want to raise these two cases not because they had so much publicity globally, but also because there are silver linings associated with both, right? With the Asian financial crisis, Malaysia stood out as the only country that didn't adopt the IMF prescription. Instead, it went it alone, it put in capital controls, and it did so effectively and successfully, right? So it was seen as a country that had independence in policy thinking and in exercising its sovereignty. The one MDB scandal, of course, has produced in large measure the change in government that we've seen. And again, this sent, I think, a very good signal about accountability mechanisms in play and democracy in practice. And these are the sorts of things that put Malaysia on the radar in a good way, even if they are, you know, in some sense caused by negative factors to begin with.
And beyond these circumstances, as for what the country is consciously doing for its branding, are there specific industries we are focusing on at the moment?
I think Malaysia likes to focus on, high-tech industries, the knowledge sectors, and other high-value-added services, including tourism. And many countries approaching Malaysia's per capita income are doing that. And I think that's okay, except I think we should recognize branding for what it is, right? It's just, in a sense, advertising, promoting what you might be good at. But you have to be good at it as well, right? So simply, trying to press the branding without the substance underlying it will not work either. Right. So we need it's icing on the cake. Right. But you've got to have the cake as well. Icing alone is not enough. And so we need the policy reforms to create the environment that will support these industries that we claim to be able to, specialize in or invite investments into. There's no substitute for those policy reforms and underlying changes that have to accompany any kind of advertising campaign.
Mm-hmm. Where do we stand in comparison with our neighbours, and how important is this to Malaysia?
We do compete strongly with our immediate neighbouring countries. So it is important how we do in relative terms. I think we're doing quite well in ASEAN after Singapore and Brunei, the two small city states. Malaysia has got the highest per capita income and it's done quite well attracting investments, being open to trade. And so it's doing well, but, these are also challenging times, right? Malaysia will not graduate to high income status by 2020 as hoped for in Vision 2020. That will not happen now. And so it's a wake up call to fix the distortions within the economy when other countries now are pushing hard with reforms as well. Indonesia and the Philippines are awakening to a new dawn with their reforms. And we have all the new ASEAN members that are also reforming rapidly. So the environment in this immediate region has become quite competitive, and Malaysia needs to remain on its toes to keep up with all these changes.
And how much does our ASEAN membership affect our branding?
ASEAN is becoming more and more important. We are original founding members of ASEAN and we play an important role in the grouping. I think it certainly helps. Let's not overplay the importance of ASEAN membership. Unlike the newest members like Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar and Vietnam, Malaysia is a member of many clubs. ASEAN is only one. For those new members, this might be the most important membership. For Malaysia, I think it's also a founding member of APEC. It might join the CPTPP. It was an original member of the TPP. And RCEP, or the ASEAN Plus 6 grouping, might also get concluded this year, finally. So there are many different clubs that Malaysia belongs to, and all of them help in creating this international exposure and also branding that will, you know, help Malaysia present a positive image on the global scene.
So I'm a football fan, and I'm thinking of like how Malaysia Airlines partners with Liverpool, or how we can see the phrase "Visit Malaysia" pasted on Cardiff City's jersey. What's the impact of this kind of branding?
I think all this kind of publicity is good. I mean, it cannot hurt. And of course, if it's done without too much cost to the taxpayer, that's even better. Certainly, it should be welcome. But I think in this respect, you know, these things matter to some extent. But what would really be good branding for Malaysia is if we could, you know, emulate some of the experiences of the more developed countries, like, say, Germany with its branding with high technology and, you know, sophisticated cars, for instance, BMW, Mercedes. We can't do that with Proton. That's not the way to do it. We've tried that and we've failed. And it's actually been a negative signal. And I see that it's being attempted one more time again now. But what we should do is to try and consolidate and take advantage of what we have done. For instance, Grab, a Malaysian company originally, is not identified with Malaysia when it should be, right? Because of domestic rules, the company was shifted to Singapore and established there. In the same way, AirAsia, born in Malaysia, isn't often always identified as a Malaysian-born company. And these are, you know, lost opportunities for fabulous branding that we could have taken advantage of, but have lost that chance. I think that's the stuff that's more important than jerseys and so on. And if we can consolidate that for the future and have true Malaysian-born companies stay here and be identified as Malaysian, the returns in terms of exposure will be immense and unparalleled.
Jayant, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Jayant Menon, lead economist at the ASEAN Asian Development Bank. And tomorrow on the show, we talk about tourism symbols. Do the Twin Towers and the Hornbill give a good idea of what Malaysia is? So make sure you tune in for that. And in the meantime, on this matter of nation branding, we have been receiving some messages. First up, this one from Azmin MK, which says, Malaysians need to be more proud of our country. True, embarrassing news keeps turning up globally, but we need to make the effort to highlight what's good about us, especially when we Malaysians travel overseas and the locals engage with us about Malaysia.
Yeah, exactly. And well, when we go to another country, I guess we need to have an answer already prepared. Like if people ask like, where is Malaysia or what is Malaysia about? So we already know how to answer. And to bring back the point that I said just now, It's a long-term game that you have to play. It's not an overnight thing. So eventually, when people are more aware of Malaysia and what we offer to the world, then these kind of questions probably we don't need to answer anymore.
I just generally think if we are courteous, if we're nice, if we're respectful, and we make an attempt, I guess, to even just talk to people who live there, talk to the locals when we travel abroad, I think that makes very good impressions, right? They know that you're not there to tear up their Airbnb. You know they're not. They know that you're not there to necessarily, you know, just leave litter everywhere. If you make a good impression just by being someone that is civil, civic-minded, I think that goes a very long way.
And from what I gather from like tourism blogs, I think a lot of people think that Malaysians are polite and quite good at English. So that's one of our strengths that can attract more tourists here.
And on the line, we have Amir. Amir, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi. I'm doing fine, thank you. I had a realization when you guys were discussing this topic earlier that in the yesteryears, Malaysia's approach to the national branding was very record-centric. Mm-hmm. Like, in the past decades, you know, we had the Petronas Twin Towers, which is, I believe, still today the highest Twin Towers in the Twin Tower structure in the world. Mm-hmm. And then we had, at one point, the Penang Bridge. You know, in terms of infrastructure, we set out to extend, to spread the Malaysian name via these records. And I think, well, at the time, in the past 10, 20 years, they were a good approach and they still are standing strong today. But like, as compared to what we have seen in the Crazy Rich Asians, quite blatant advertising by the actors simply robbing our dignity and identity of the Malaysian satay and the Malaysian street food. So I think that our approach in the past has been rather old school and needs revamp. And especially, it should be one of the more main focuses of our foreign ministry, especially to regain the dignity in our Malaysian name, especially since it's been tarnished by national news in regards to bribery and in regards to misuse of, you know, of national funds, etc. That's how our name is unfortunately being spread right now. And so I believe that it is a national issue that our cendol is no longer Malaysian. And I believe that it is to our interest as Malaysian citizens as a matter of identity and as a matter of dignity. So, yeah, I think those are my thoughts for now.
Amir, thank you so much for those thoughts. And actually, it is true, right? We have to think of new ways. We always have to be one step ahead of the game, maybe even three steps ahead of the game when it comes to tourism. We can't always rely on those that have been reliable on the past. But today, it's like, you know, it does feel like, I don't want to say we have to move on, but we have to think of new ways to do it. You know, we can still market the older things like the Twin Towers, the KL Tower and so on. But, you know, what's next?
Well, I don't know. I keep thinking about durian just because it's a big
craze. Because we love
it. Yeah, and China loves it as well. And China is the biggest market in the world. And I know, I have a feeling that our food is a good opportunity for us to sort of promote ourselves in the world. And maybe we can sort of highlight that globally.
We also have this message here from Munif that says, I would totally rebrand us as Malaysia, food capital of the world. You can keep sending your thoughts through. That's 7733 2900 to call, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Merdeka Special is presented by Masing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.